Chapter 19, and we're going to read from verse 1 through to 6. Revelation 19, 1 through to 6. And it says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah," and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Hallelujah." And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own holy word. Let's just have a little word of prayer as we come to God's word just now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time when we can meet together as your people. We thank you for your word, Lord, that you have given to us in our own mother tongue. We bless thee that it's the infallible, immortal, impregnable Word of God, and we thank you that it's a light unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Father, that your word is a blessing to us in so many times and situations in life. We praise you that it's also a source of comfort. And so we thank you that we can turn to it this morning in these days in which we live. And we pray, our Father, that by your Spirit, that you would lead us, Lord, in your word this morning, that you would speak to us from it. This is the word of the Lord, and we pray that we might hear the Lord's voice speaking to all our hearts today. And so we commit our time to thee and pray that we might know the power of your Spirit for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Now this passage that I've read with you this morning from Revelation 19, it begins with these words, "and after these things." And when we come to a phrase like that in God's word, we need to ask ourselves the question, after what things? Now, when we go away back through the book of the Revelation, God has been speaking and sending messages to the seven churches through his servant John. And we find that when we go back to chapter 1, that's an introduction chapter. We find that he introduces the book there, and it begins, of course, with a salutation. And then we find that after that, in chapter 1, in chapter 2 and chapter 3, there you have the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. The first church was Ephesus. And the seventh church was Laodicea. And you find all the other churches in those two chapters, chapters 2 and 3. When we come into chapter 4 and 5, the scene changes then from earth to heaven. And chapter 4 begins like this. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up thither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And so John is taken up into heaven, and he gets a little glimpse of glory in those two chapters. When we come then to chapter 6, right through to chapter 18, we find that the scene changes again from heaven, and it's back on earth. Sometimes there's little interludes just to take us to heaven again, but most of those chapters We see then the events, or most of those chapters, we see that the events which take place in the Great Tribulation period. You remember that in those chapters we read about the seven seals being opened, and every time a seal was opened, something terrible happened on earth. And we read about the seven trumpets being sounded, and every time a trumpet is sounded, something terrible happens on earth. And we read about the bowls or the vials, whatever word you want to use, being poured out, and every time a bowl is poured out, something terrible happens upon earth. And after we come to the end of that, in chapter 18, it says this, it says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and become the habitation of devils." Now that brings us into chapter 19, where we have read this morning. And we find that when we come to chapter 18, the scene moves back again to heaven. It says, John says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven." So what we're reading here in these verses is in heaven. And we find in the opening verses, we see the praises in heaven. The praises in heaven. Why? He says, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." So we see in heaven, we have praises of the redeemed. This is the redeemed of the Lord, and they're singing praises to the Lord. And the reason for the praise is because of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you read about that in verses 7 through there to 9 in that chapter. A marriage, of course, is a time of praise and rejoicing. And they're praising God for the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, one of the most famous works in classical music is Handel's Messiah. I don't know where you've ever heard it or not. It's a very interesting piece of music that was written by Handel. And I find it very interesting when they're going through Handel's Messiah, this great piece that Handel wrote, to fit in the scripture, because it's all scripture. Scripture put to music, and it's very interesting to listen and to identify the portions of scripture that you hear being sung. Many years ago, when Queen Victoria was reigning, they were having a rendition of Handel's Messiah in one of the great music halls in London. And the leader of the orchestra, or the leader of the music hall, came to the Queen before it started, and he said to her, "Your Majesty, the tradition is when we sing Handel's Messiah that when we come to that great piece at the end called the Hallelujah Chorus, that the whole congregation, the whole audience stands while the choir and the orchestra goes through this Hallelujah Chorus. But because you're our sovereign, you're our queen, you don't need to stand. You can keep seated on your seat while the rest stand." And so they went through this great piece of classical music, and they came to that great part where they sing the Hallelujah Chorus. And as the choir began to sing, and the orchestra played, the congregation stood to its feet. But Queen Victoria, she stood with her subjects while they sang this great chorus, the Hallelujah Chorus. She bowed and praised the Lord as they sang that great chorus. And you know, as I read these verses here, you know, I thought I could write across this little passage of scripture here, the Hallelujah Chorus. Because this word Hallelujah appears four times in the verses. You'll find it in verse 1. Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. You find it in verse 3. It says there in verse 3, and they said, Hallelujah, and their smoke rose up forever and ever. You find it in verse 4. There at the end of the verse, God sat on the throne saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And you find it in verse 6, where it says, And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of many thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So we see here the praises of heaven, the praises of heaven. Sometimes, well, most times we never hear this word hallelujah used in our gatherings. We used to a long time ago, but when we get to heaven, you'll be shouting and singing hallelujah. And then we see in verse 2 the performances of the Lord. It says, For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. They're praising the Lord, and they're praising the Lord because of his performances and his judgments. All his performances are true and righteous. I wonder, friends, can we praise the Lord this morning? My, we can praise the Lord for all his performances and judgments. So we see the praises of heaven and the performances of the Lord. And then in verse 6, we see the proclamation of the multitude. It says, And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. A great multitude, and it says here, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And I want to take this text this morning as our message for today. My hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know, if you look at that word omnipotent, it means all powerful and all mighty. The text is bringing before us the Lord God omnipotent, who's all powerful and all mighty. We see his omnipotence, my, in so many ways throughout the scriptures and even around us. We see that he's the Lord God omnipotent in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he was the all-powerful and almighty creator. In Hebrews, we read, And thou, Lord, in the beginning has formed the heavens and the earth. We see his omnipotence in Revelation. My, it's revealed to us throughout the Word of God. My, you remember when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt? They came to the Red Sea. And God made a way through for his people. The sea was separated. But when the enemy tried to follow them, it came in and slew them. My, we see the Lord God omnipotent there. We see his omnipotence at the walls of Jericho. We see his omnipotence in the den when Daniel was put into the den. And we see his omnipotence in so many ways. We see his omnipotence in his ministry. In his ministration, my, he cleansed the leper. He calmed the storm. He raised the dead. He healed the sick because he's the Lord God omnipotent, the one who's all-powerful and almighty. We see his omnipotence in redemption. And in a day to come, we see his omnipotence in translation, because the Lord God omnipotent is he that will call us home and catch us up to be with the Savior in the earth. The Lord God omnipotent is almighty and all-powerful. He's the Lord God omnipotent. And then there's another little word in here. It says, The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigneth. Reigneth means sovereign or royal rule. And so the meaning of the text, is that the Lord God omnipotent, the one who is all powerful and almighty, reigneth. The Lord God omnipotent, the one who is all powerful and almighty, is sovereign over all. He is in sovereign control. That's the meaning, the exegesis of the text. And you know, friends, as we look around us today, what a day we live in. We know not what a day will bring forth, but we know that we're living in days which we've never seen the like of before, and the many generations have never seen the like of before. My, so much uncertainty, so many fears, so many things happening before our eyes. People who were in the best of health are being cut down. And yet, you know, as we look around us, and as we see this pandemic that we're in, and as we look at other situations in the world and things that are happening, my, remember this, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord God omnipotent. The things in our nation and in our nations are out of control. Out of control. Things in the country may be out of control. Things in the land may be out of control. Things in your business may be out of control. Things in our lives might be out of control. But the sovereign Lord, who has all power, is in control. Whatever our situation or circumstances, we can take courage this morning that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That God is in control. Let me do it like this for you. You know, in the storms of life, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The storms of life are reality to all of us. We all will pass through the storms as we go through life. When I was not long saved, you know, I wondered what the storms of life. The pastor used to preach about the storms of life and the people of God going through them. And I used to scratch my head and say, well, I don't know what he's talking about. I can tell you this, I know about the storms of life now. I've been through a few of them. My friends, the storms of life. You remember the Lord said to his people, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. I think one of the great stories where we see this is the storm that Paul passed through when he was on the road to Rome to be tried by Caesar. Over in Acts chapter 27, you want to just put your finger in Revelation for a moment and turn over to Acts chapter 27. And Paul is being taken to Rome to appear before Caesar. It says in verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly. You know, the south wind was blowing softly. Everything was fine. The sky was blue. There was the beautiful calm breezes from the south, the warm breezes coming up, and everything was going well. The south wind blew softly. But then in the very next verse it says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And my, as you read down those verses, you see that the storm came. My, the south wind was blowing softly, but you know, very shortly after that, this storm came and the ship was in danger. They had to lighten the ship. They thought they were going to perish. They all hope was given up that they might be saved. It says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. But then the Apostle Paul stood forth. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but that of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whom I, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.'" You know, friends, when they had lost hope, when they'd given up, when they'd sort of accepted the fact that they were going to be shipwrecked and drowned, Paul grasped this great truth, and he tried to convey it to them, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And God assured him that he would be brought through on all that was with him, that he would be brought through the storm, and the Lord brought them through the storm. The Lord God omnipotent might brought them through the storm. And how like that is in our own life as we go through life, friends. There's times when the south wind blows softly. Everything is going well. Everything is good. Everything is going the way we want it to do. And then out of the blue, the storm comes. It only takes a telephone call. Only takes a knock on the door. Only takes a visit to the doctor's surgery, or the report of an x-ray or scan. It just happens so quickly that the things around us can change and be turned upside down. When the storm breaks in your life, and when the unexpected happens that you weren't prepared for, oh, that you might get the grasp of this great truth, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I've talked to people in the past when I was in the work who had got bad news from a doctor. Remember a lady ringing me up one day to say that found a shadow on her brain. She'd been having headaches, and they were going to have to put her through some tests and take her in to see if it was a tumor. And she said to me, "You know, Pastor, if this is not benign, I'm finished." And I said, "That's right, Violet, you are. But remember this, that God is in control." And it turned out it wasn't. It wasn't what she thought it was. Dear friends, we can get strength in the hour of need, in the time of storm. People maybe today who are concerned about their business. People today who are concerned about their health or about their loved ones. Remember this, that the Lord God omnipotent, the one who is all powerful and almighty, is in sovereign control. He can bring you through to the blue sky of the other side. And what we say of the storms, we say the same of the sufferings of life. Not only in the storms of life, but in the sufferings of life. Remember that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Just as we won't get through life without going through the storm, neither will we get through life without having to experience suffering of some kind. There are so many different kinds of suffering. There's physical suffering and mental suffering, emotional suffering, social suffering, material suffering, evangelical suffering. There's people today who are suffering for the gospel in different countries. One sees the famines in different parts of the world. One sees the poverty that many people are living in today. One sees the child abuse that there is across our world. People ask, why these things are happening, why they're allowed to happen. One of the greatest stories of suffering in your Bible is the story of Job. You remember Job? He was a great character. And it says of Job, what a testimony he had, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And you remember, he had a great substance. He had 7,000 sheep and 7,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and so on. He had a great farm. He was a farmer. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he was famous. He was the greatest of all the men of the East. And in one day, God allowed Satan, because of a challenge that Satan had directed towards Job, God allowed Satan to cause havoc in Job's life. And he lost the farm, and he lost the flocks, and he lost his family. And in the next chapter, chapter 2, he lost his health. What good is anything if you haven't got your health? But Job lost them all. Job lost them all. But Job said this. It says, Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Here's a man in the midst of the storm and in the midst of suffering. And what's he doing? He's worshipping. I wonder, sometimes I wonder what I would have done if I'd have been in his shoes. What would you have done? Would you have fallen down and worshipped? And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what Job was doing, friends? As he worshipped God, he was just shouting, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The sovereign God who has all power is in control. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. We can't understand things in life, but it's then we need to trust God, to trust in his love and in his wisdom. The hymn writer said, not now, but in the coming years, it may be in the better land, we know the meaning of our tears. And then, sometime, we'll understand. My friends, is our faith big enough to know that the sovereign Lord, who has all power, is in control? Can you say this morning, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth in the storms of life, in the sufferings of life, in the steps of life. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. My C.T. Studd, we all have, I'm sure, read about C.C. Studd, how he went to Africa when he was in ill health and did a mighty work for God, how he gave up so many things. Man, we see here this morning the storms and the sufferings and the steps and the situations of life. We go through life, we come face to face with so many situations. You remember Abraham? Abraham was asked to sacrifice. God asked him to sacrifice the son that God had given him. My God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. And we find that he laid Isaac on the altar, put him on the altar, believing that God was able to raise him again from the dead. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. He willingly and submissively offered up Isaac on the altar, accounting that God was able to raise him again from the dead. He believed that the Lord God was omnipotent. You remember Elijah? Remember how Elijah took a stand for God against Ahab. God sent him down to the brook Cherith when the famine came into the land. They promised him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. My dear friends, Elijah didn't need to panic buy. You know, when you get news about things, you see people out panic buying. God had promised to provide his need. Elijah didn't panic. He didn't go from here to there looking to see what he was going to have for his tea or what he was going to eat for his breakfast. He just got up in the morning and he looked and he saw the ravens coming. And he looked again in the evening time and he saw the ravens coming. And he drank of the brook, because Elijah knew that the Lord God omnipotent was in control. He was in control of the very fowls of the air. Moses was surrounded by problems when he led the people. Ah, but God made a way through the Red Sea. And we could go on with these things. In so many situations, we find ourselves in with problems and trials and needs. Sometimes we feel helpless, and that's a human thing. Sometimes we feel discouraged, and we all get discouraged. Sometimes we feel we're making no headway. My dear friends, it's then you can look up by faith and see the Lord on the throne and say, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's in control. He's there. The sovereign Lord, in the midst of this pandemic in which we find ourselves in these days, in the midst of so much uncertainty and fear, remember, friends, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's sovereign and he's in control. Let's pray.